Well, turn in your Bibles to Genesis 29. We're continuing our study. We're looking, as we've been seeing this in this study, we're looking at what we call four great men. We've seen Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We started looking really with the life of Abraham, and he was the man of faith. And then we saw Isaac, and Isaac, we call him the quiet man because he's sort of in between, because after that comes Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel, and Jacob had two wives and two handmaids. So, I mean, this is what we've been seeing as we're going all the way through this thing. And tonight we're going to see what I call it, the family and the conflict. And so everybody, I hope you get that down. It says Jacob had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob had two wives and two handmaids. So I hope y'all got that. We're going to see the family and the conflict tonight as we look through this. Now, let's think about something. Children are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127 says, children are a gift of the Lord. It is the grace of God in our lives. And all of us who have children know how wonderful it is, how special they are. At this day and time, when we look at the lives of these people, sometimes women who weren't having babies were considered something's wrong. Something, you know, how come you can't have a baby? How come you can't get pregnant? They kind of almost were looked down upon. And so tonight we're going to see the children that are born to Jacob. We know there's going to be 12 boys and what? Anybody know? One girl. And so we're going to see how that ties together. The 12 sons because became what we call the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jacob has two wives. Leah is able to have children, and Rachel is barren. And so here's some questions we want to raise is, why does Leah want children? And where do all these children come from? And we mentioned it a while ago, where does the nation of Israel come from? And we'd say, well, it's Abraham. Abraham to Isaac, because there was Isaac and who? Ishmael, but it comes through Isaac, and then there's Jacob and Esau, but it comes through Jacob, and now it's going to be these four women and Jacob, and they're going to make the nation of Israel. So where does all this happen? So we have Rachel's handmaid is Bilhah, we have Leah's handmaid is Zilpah, and they're one big happy family. Is that right? No, they're not a very happy family. Now, let me remind you of something. We just talked about it already, but here we saw that Jacob stole the birthright and the blessing from his brother. And so then his mother knew that his brother wanted to kill him. So she said, I don't want him to marry anybody right here. Let's let him go back to my family. And so he went back, but the real reason was she didn't want him to get killed. So he gets there, and he meets Rachel and meets Laban and falls in love, of course, with Rachel. And it says that I'll work for 7 years for her, and he does. And at the end of 7 years, the deceiver, Jacob, gets deceived, and he wakes up married to Leah. And then so he says, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll give you, you know, around here we don't marry off the younger daughter before the older daughter. And you almost want to see Jacob say, that's not true. I mean, you should have told me that already. I mean, you tricked me. And so he says, if you'll work 7 more years, I'll give you Rachel right now, but you have to work 7 more years. So he figures, okay, I'm going to be there 14 years. What did his mama say? How long he'd be gone? A few days. She never sees him again. That's some sad stuff in all of this. So here we are, and we've got Jacob married to Leah and Rachel and the handmaids, and she can have babies is what it's going to tell us. And right now she's not having babies. And what's going to happen? And Laban figures in all this because Laban is a scoundrel. And we'll see what's going on. So here's what we realize. In Genesis 29:30 says, so Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban for another 7 years. That's the summary of where we are. He did that for 7 more years. So you're thinking, okay, what's going to happen at the end of the 14 years? Okay, he's already been there 7, and now he's got 7 more. What's going to happen at the end of the 14 years? What do we think? He's going to go back home. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be there for a short time. That's all. He thought he would get a wife and come back, but he had to have 7 years for the wife, and then ended up being the wrong wife, so he got to have another 7 years. So he's going to be there 14 years before he can ever think about going home. And by the way, he's not going to go home at the end of 14 years, and we'll talk about it. We'll see how it goes. Look at verse 31. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Listen, whose fault that Leah was unloved? Who was it? Whose fault that Leah was unloved? Well, it could be Jacob, but I mean, who put her in that situation? Laban did. I mean, so God blesses her by opening her womb, but it does say that Rachel was barren. And so let's see what happens. And we're going to start with, and we've got four things tonight. Jacob's offspring, and if you want to, you can write those in. I'll just give you time to write them in. Jacob's offspring, that's basically 29, 31 to 30, 30, 24. That's just the verses. And you don't really even have to have the verses. If you want to, you can. And we're going to see the deceitfulness, the flocks. What is going on there? Jacob leaves for home. And the witness. So that's the four things we're going to look at. We're going to see the babies. The babies are going to be born. The children are going to be born. It's so wild because he has 13 kids and 12 of them are boys. You know, and that's going to be the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. So have you got it? Jacob's offspring, 29 through 30, basically deceitfulness. The flocks, we'll see what they did there. Jacob leaves home in chapter, he leaves for home. He's ready to go back. We're going to find out how long that he has been there when he gets ready to go back. And then we see the witness. And what is that? What do we mean, the witness? Well, we'll see when we get to that passage. You know, there's some things in here that when you read the scripture and you know what these names mean and how this fits together, all of it fits. So let's think about it. Let's say you're Jacob. What do you think? You've got two wives. One of them you don't want. And so you've got one that you basically show love to. You've got the other one that you don't show love to. And then you've got these two handmaidens, okay? If you're Leah, you've got a husband that doesn't love you and doesn't really care about you. And you're really upset about that. And then if you're Rachel, you say, I've got the husband that loves me, but my sister, who's an older sister, she's in the way, really. She's in the way. And then when they start having babies, who's going to have the babies? Leah. Well, how's Rachel going to feel about that? So what's going to happen? So let's start with what we call Jacob's offspring, okay? And this is chapter 29. We'll start with verse 31. It just says, now the Lord saw Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And so here's what we find as we look through this. We see that he's got two wives. Leah is unloved and has the handmaid Zilpah. Rachel is loved, but she's barren, and she has the handmaid Bilhah. So that's where we are, and this is a strange situation. And let me tell you, if anybody thinks that the Bible, it gives you everything. It gives you the truths. And let me just face it: when you think about the nation of Israel that God chose to Abraham, which would bless the whole world, look how it's coming. It's just really unique. So let's start. And here's the really raise this question. Why does Leah want children? Why does she want children? You know, she thinks if she has children, what's going to happen? He'll love her because, like, she's the mama of his kids. So she says that'll happen. Her hope is that somehow she'll get Jacob to love her. And so let's see. The sons are going to be born. Here they come. The sons are born. And this is, let's watch what happens. So first of all, whoops, that didn't work. There we go. Here's the first son. Look at verse 32. Rachel, Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. She has Reuben. Reuben, behold, a son, and now he will love me. Now, the word Reuben literally means, behold, a son. A son. And so she says, when he sees the boy, he will love me. He will, because now, and so right out besides Reuben, behold the son. That's what the name means. And so she says, okay, I've got you a boy. Look at this. Doesn't every man want this boy? That's what a lot of people think. And now he's going to love me. But there's more. There's more going on. And now let's just raise a question here. Do you think that, Jacob loves Rachel and he doesn't love Leah, but obviously he's having sexual relations with Leah. What do you think? Right? I mean, okay. So this is, it's not just osmosis, right? I mean, there's something happening here. So look at here. Here's another one. Has a second son, verse 33. Then she conceived again and bore a son, and she said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, He therefore has given me this son, so we're going to name him Simeon. And Simeon, that's what we're going to call him. And Simeon means God has heard. God has heard. He's heard what's going on. He knows what's going on. And so the second son is Simeon. God has heard. Well, we're not through. We're not through. Because there's going to be a third son. This is verse 34. Third son, his name's Levi. And look what he goes on to say. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me. Why? Because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, he was named Levi. Levi means joined. It means connected. That's what the idea. That's what Levi means. So she says, okay, I have given a son. I've given the one that God has heard. I've given the one that's going to join me together with him. So everything's, you know, he's going to love me because I've given him three sons. Well, there's one more. That literally, she says, he will stay with me. Notice it says, I have therefore borne him three sons. My husband will come attached to me. That means stay with me. You realize they probably have different tents. What do you think? There's probably the tent for Rachel and her handmaid, and a tent for Leah and her handmaid. We're going to see this later on in the passage. We're going to see it. So she's thinking, where does Jacob go at night? Well, obviously, sometimes he goes over here, and sometimes he goes over here. She's thinking, one of these days, he's going to stop going over there because I'm going to give him all these children. Now, what do you think Rachel is thinking through all this? Why can't I have any babies? Why am I not having babies? What is the deal? So they're going to be a fourth son, and his name is Judah. So look what it says, verse 35. And she conceived again and bore a son, and this time, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. The name Judah means praise. She's given him four sons. And, I mean, that's pretty amazing. And think how many years has this been? I mean, just think what's happening here, okay? So four sons, he has given Jacob four sons. And think about it, they're famous. Reuben is the firstborn. Levi, the priesthood comes through Levi. And Judah, the scepter comes through Judah. Do you realize of her boys that she had, one of them, the priesthood of Israel is going to come through that family. And the kingship of Judah, that's King David, is going to come through Judah. And Reuben, of course, has blessing. He's the firstborn. So she has three of her four sons become what we might call famous. They're amazing. Now, it says, and notice the end of verse 35, then she stopped bearing. Well, she didn't have any babies for a while. Well, let's see what's going on with Rachel. Chapter 30, look at verse 1. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or else I'm going to die. She basically says, I'm jealous. This is not right. Give me children. And that we put it up here. Review this for you just for a second. Reuben is a son, so Jacob will love her. Then Reuben means son. Simeon, God has heard her. Simeon means heard. Levi, Jacob will become attached. Jacob's going to attach to her. And Judah, God's going to be praised for the four sons. So they've got those names. Everything is matching out pretty good. And then Rachel tells Jacob, give me children. And, you know, Jacob could say, I don't think the problem's me. Right? I mean, if you're in this, think about the conflict. She's saying, and look what it says. She's jealous of her sister, and she said, give me children or else I'm going to die. You do something. Well, look what he says. Then Jacob anger burned. He's mad. Can you see him fussing? Can you see him mad? You know, when you think of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you see them in the Bible, and you think, well, Abraham and Sarah probably always got along perfectly. I don't think so, especially when he told everybody she was a sister and she got taken off. And then you got Isaac and Rebecca, and you think everything's wonderful there, and it's not, because all they do is fuss. And they have all this, they love one son above another. And now you got Jacob, and you know that this is not going well. And you got all kind of problems. When you look at the Bible, it tells us everything. And so Jacob, look, Jacob's anger burned against Rachel. He said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Whoa. He didn't beat around the bush there. He said, God's the one not letting you have babies. Well, you know, because when you first read this, when I start reading all this, I picture like a Hallmark movie, and you know, here is Rachel and him, and they're just loving, and he's up there saying, the reason God's not letting you have any babies. I think that probably went over real well with her, don't you think? Man. And so they're going to have to come up with a plan. They got a plan. Well, here it is. Look what it says. She said, here's my maid, Bilhah. Go into her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children. So she gave her maid Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. What?
What is
Rachel? Yeah, it's supposed to say Jacob plan. I'm sorry. Good. Is it wrong? Is it wrong in the book too? Okay, make the change and then tell Chelsea and we'll get it changed. So what is the plan? Well, he's going to have children with Bilhah, the handmaid. What? How do you think that's going to go? What happened when Abraham and Sarah tried the same thing? And Sarah said, go into my handmaid Hagar and we'll have a child through him. See, that's a custom. That didn't go well, did it? What's going to happen here? I think you're going to say, well, Rachel said, well, you just have this one. You just have this one. That's the plan. And she says, here's the handmaid. Go into her so she may bear on my knees. That idea there is that I'm going to have the baby that's going to sit on my knees. That's the custom. The maid could bear the children, and they would count as the wife. And remember, Abraham and Sarah and Hagar did the same thing. So verse 4 and 5, so she gave her maid Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went to her. Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Wow. Okay, going to have a son. Well, what's he going to be called? Notice this, bore a son. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He's judged me. He's indeed heard my voice, and he's given me a son. Remember what did he say a while ago? God is the one that won't let you have a baby. So now she's going to have a baby through Bilhah, and she says, God has justified me. God's, you know, everything's fine. He's judged me, and everything's come out fine. Rachel said, God has vindicated me, has indeed heard my voice. He's given me a son. Therefore, they named him what? Dan. You know what Dan means? It means judge. He said, God has judged me. And that's why I got this boy. And so they called him Dan. Can you see what's going on? But we're not through. We're not through. So notice that Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Now let me tell you, who's the problem that Rachel can't have babies? Rachel. Because, I mean, he's got babies here and babies here. And so they have another son. Verse 7 and 8 says, Rachel's maid conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Rachel said, with mighty wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and I have indeed prevailed. And they named him Naphtali. What do you think Naphtali means? It means wrestling. Isn't this wild? So they're naming them after all the things that are going on in their lives. And so we could see there's a contest going on. Who can have the babies? Now, she's saying, well, I'm having babies. And Rachel's saying, well, I'm not having babies, but I'm having babies. I'm having babies. You got, how many you got? I got four. How many you got? I got two. Okay. So we can see the contest. And so when we look at it, Leah has Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And Bilhah, which is Rachel's handmaids, has Dan and Naphtali. Okay. So you remember what happened over here to her? She's got four, but what happened? It says she stopped bearing. So she says, wait a minute. Eventually, they might catch up here.
Talk about Leah.
Yeah, yeah. What happened to Leah? Well, she stopped bearing. So she's saying, who knows? They may catch up to me. So I better do something about it. Zilpah, I got a deal for you. Right? And so look what happens in verse 9. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. So here's the plan. She says, well, I'm going to give him a son that Leah's handmaid Zilpah gives, and they name him Gad, which means good fortune. Notice it says, Leah said, how fortunate. So they named him Gad. Wow. And so you probably did not realize the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, why they had those names. Well, now you do. I mean, because they're not just the name they decide to name them. They name them because what's going on. And so she said, whoa, I've got to do something. And so she says, this is good fortune. I have a child. But there's not through. We're not through. So it goes on to say, then Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Oh my gracious alive. How many is that over here? Four and what? Two. Four and two, that's six. And over here we got two. And says, and they named him what? Asher. What does Asher mean? It means happy. It means happy. So, what do we have now? We have eight sons. Four by Leah, two by Bilhah, two by Zilpah. And guess what? Who's left out in this whole thing? Rachel's left out. God gives the children a strange, conflicting situation. And from this, he builds the nation of Israel. I mean, it's just the most amazing thing that you can imagine. And we all know that later on, all these boys get grown up and everything, and they end up going to Egypt. And when they go down to Egypt, there's still only 75 of them in the family. And they come out with 2 million. It's just, that's the nation. Well, look what happens. So now we're stuck. So we've got Rachel with no kids, Bilhah with two, Leah with four, and Zilpah with two. Now, Leah is saying, I need to get back in this thing. I need to get back in the contest, right? And the only way I can do that is, see, we have some sort of a magical stuff. We have these things called mandrakes. And if you get a mandrake, it makes you virile, and it makes you be, you know, with a man, it'll make you have, and with a woman, you'll have a baby. And so if you can find some mandrakes and use them, who knows what could happen? That's what they said. That's what they thought. So look at verse 14. Now, in the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field, brought them to his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your mandrakes. So here goes Reuben. He goes out and he finds these things that are supposed to make you get pregnant or make you have babies or make you do something. And he takes them to his mother Leah. And now she's, how many babies she got?
Four.
And then it's two and two. And guess who finds out about these mandrakes? Rachel. So look what happens. So now in the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field, and he brought them to his mother, Leah. Rachel said to Leah, let me have some of your son's mandrakes. She said, let me have some of them because I need them. I need them. What are mandrakes? They're small orange-colored berries about the size of a small apple. I don't know anything about them, but I've been trying to find some. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all, I mean, just think about it. Just so here's this one woman. She says over, says, let me have some of your son's mandrakes because I want them. I want them because who knows? This may be the thing that I can have a baby. This may be the thing. And so what does Leah say about this? But she said to her, is it a small matter for you to take my husband, and now you want to take my son's mandrakes? She says, you've got him because he loves you. Now, I got all the babies, but you got him. And now you want this too, so maybe you can have babies? And here's what she said. And you'd like to take my mandrakes? So Rachel said, therefore, he may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. You know what it seems to me? That she kind of decides what ten he's going to. And she says, okay, if you'll give me mandrakes, I'll let him come spend the night with you. Maybe when she stopped bearing, that he didn't go there very much other than her, because it looks like it's been a while. And so she's got the mandrakes. She wants the mandrakes. And she says, if you'll give me the mandrakes, I'll let him come be with you. And by the way, we're going to say this is not a one-night stand. We'll talk about it. Let's see what happens. So first, look at verse 16. This is so weird. This is weird. Verse 16. When Jacob came in from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he lay with her that night. Can you imagine? He's coming in from the field, and she comes out and says, you're going to have to come to my tent tonight because I hired you. I gave the mandrakes to Rachel. You have to come be with me tonight. He probably said, whatever, you know. So whatever. And so look what happened. So here we go. Leah is going to bear a fifth son. this is working. So look what happens. God gave heed to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my maid to my husband. So she named him Issachar. Issachar means man for hire. That's what it means. And so it says, I paid it out. I got the man for hire. I paid the wages. But notice, if you think he went one night and came back, notice. Verse 19. Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son to Jacob. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me. I'm thinking he's going to come start living with me because I've borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun, which means dwelling. And so she thinks, okay, I got him to come one time because of the man's race, but now he's come more and he's got another baby with me. So we now have six children here, two here. He's only got what? Two over here, right? And so he's going to come and start dwelling with me because he now knows I have given him what? Six sons, right? Look at this. Leah has given him Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And then her handmaid has given Gad and Asher. And then Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, has given Dan and Naphtali. And Rachel has none. How many is that? That's six and two is eight. Two. That's ten, right? Is that ten? Mm-hmm. Paul, there's ten kids hanging around, and how many are Rachel's? None. You know she's got to be really, really sad. And it's not over yet. Look at the next verse. 21. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and named her Dinah. She has a daughter. So think about it. Right now you have 10 boys and one girl. And six of them are from Leah, two of them from Zilpah, and two of them from Bilhah. And Rachel has none. Does your heart go out for Rachel? I mean, it does. It does. I mean, you think about Rachel. She loved Jacob. And then they got married, but she didn't get married to him. Her sister got married to him. And then they had to wait a while, but then she got married to him, and now they're working it out. They've got seven more years. But she's not got any babies. Everybody else has got babies. Everybody else has got kids. And she's got nothing. 10 sons, six by Leah, four by the handmaids, and a daughter. But notice this, verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her. Huh?
Joseph.
Yeah, oh yeah, Joseph is coming. Yeah, we hadn't said it yet, but you said it, but that's good. Then God remembers Rachel. She always makes sure I say the right thing. Anyway, no. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. She named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord give me another son. What? Good gracious. Look, God remembered Rachel. And what happens? His name is Joseph. She bore a son. And the name Joseph means another one. Basically means another one or another son. It has an idea of we're going to have another one. And so she's saying, I finally got one, but I want another one. Well, everybody else has got them. Might as well. So what do we got here? We got six here, and two here, and two here, and one here. What do we got? 11 and one girl. Wow. And by the way, she's going to play into all this part a little bit later on as well. God takes a mess of a family and brings out of it the foundation and the sons that will become the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you realize that when we see the eternal state and we see the gates, the gates all are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. These boys. Let me ask you something. Did these boys have anything to do with this? They just got born. They probably wonder what's going on as they're getting older and older. Why all the stuff? God takes a mess and makes the nation, his people, out of it. What can he do in our lives? Because most of us are a mess. I mean, really, we are. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. We sin. We're trying the best we can. God takes us, and he uses us for his glory beyond what we could ask or imagine. One of the things that you just got to realize that he does beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. Look back at your life and the things that he's done for you that you didn't even imagine he would ever do for you. It's amazing. Well, so God remembers Rachel and they get Joseph. Now, here we go. We're going to move to another section. And this, 11 sons, 6 by Leah, 4 maids, and 1 by Rachel. And now we're going to see the deceitfulness. Now, let's stop for a minute and think. How long has he been there working? Best we can tell. It's getting almost 14 years, right? 7 years for Rachel, and it ended up being Leah, so he had to work 7 more years to get the keeper. So he's got 14 years invested in this. And watch what happens, because we see Jacob and Laban, they're both dishonest with each other. That's the way they are. And I want to remind you of something. In chapter 27, Jacob deceived Isaac. In chapter 29, Laban deceives Jacob. And in chapters 30 and 31, the deceivers keep on deceiving each other. And this is what we find. And let me tell you something. When you think of Jacob or Israel, do you think positively? I do. But what kind of life has he had so far? It's a mess, right? I mean, when you look at it, and when you think of Abraham, you go, Abraham, one of the greatest men who ever lived. And what kind of things did he do sometimes? And then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then all these boys. And we're going to find what Reuben does, and we're going to find what some of these others do. And I mean, it's, God never covers up anything. So it's amazing. So it came about that Rachel bore Joseph, the last of the 11, of these 11 boys. And now he's been working for Laban all this time. And so let me raise a couple of questions here. Why did Jacob come to Haran? Two things. Why did he come? One is he knew that his mother told him, you better leave because your brother's going to kill you. Now let's wait till your brother settles down. It'll only be a few days and then you can come back. But he also went, and that one of the reasons he went is that he was supposed to find a wife. Well, did he find a wife? And has he been safe from his brother? Yes, okay. Now, what's going to happen when he goes back? If you're Jacob and you go back and you know somebody has told you as you're going back, because you're supposed to go back, because you can't live up here, why not? What's the promise? Land, seed, blessing. He can't live up here. I mean, already he's been there too long. He's got to go back. That land, seed, and blessing is going to go to him, just like from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. So when he goes back, but who's living there when he goes back? Huh? Esau. And Esau's had about 20 years to be angry. And, you know, sometimes people, as time goes by, they get worse and worse. And sometimes they get better and better. So what's going to happen? We don't know. Look at chapter 30. Look at verse 26. Verse 25. Then it came about that when Rachel had bore Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away. I want to go back to my own country, to my own place in my own country. I mean, this is, and how long has this been? But best we can tell, probably about 14 years. So he's been there all this time. He says, let me go back. Let me go back. And verse 26 says, give me my wives and my kids, my children, for whom I've served you. Let me depart, for you yourself know my service, which I have rendered to you. He says, look what I've done for you. I've been here for 14 years. I've given you grandchildren. I've taken care of both of your daughters. I've taken care of both of them. And I've been here for 14 years. I want to go back to my home. I want to go back to where I'm from. I've served you for these two women. And then verse 27, though, notice. But Laban said to him, if now it pleases you, stay with me. I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. Now, why doesn't Laban, Jacob worked 14 years for two wives, why doesn't Laban want Jacob to leave? Because he loves him so much? No, because he's blessed because of Jacob. Listen, has God been blessing Laban because of Jacob? Listen, did God bless people around Abraham? Because I bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. Did God bless people dealing with Isaac? Has God blessed people dealing with Jacob? He will. That's his people. That's God's people. And Jacob, as scoundrel as he is, and Laban, as scoundrel as he is being blessed because Jacob is there with him. So he says, I want you to stay. I realize that God is with you, and I'm being blessed because of you. And when we think about our lives, why are we blessed? Because God is with us. I'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? He blesses us. He takes care of us. So what's going to happen? So look at verse 28. He continued, name it your wage, and I will give it. He says, just ask me how much you want me to pay you to stay, and I'll let you to stay. It's to Laban's advantage for Jacob to stay. Now let me ask you a question. Does Jacob want to stay there? No. Does he like Laban? No, he doesn't. Does Rachel and Leah want to stay there? No, they don't like him either. He's not been a good daddy at all. In fact, he's treated them like what? Like property. That's what he's done. He just pawned her off, and that's what he's done. So after 14 years, they're all ready to leave. And Laban says, no, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay. Just tell me what you want. And I want you to think about something, that Jacob wanted it known that his wealth and blessing was not from Laban, but from God. It was the same way with Abraham, the same way with Isaac, same with Jacob. So Jacob says, okay, here's what I'll do. I'm going to do a special thing. Look at verse, I just wanted you to look at this. Laban says, Jacob says, you know how I've served you and taken care of you, for you had a little bit before I came, now you have a whole bunch. And so he says, well, just let me know what you want. Let me know what I can do to keep you here. And so he basically says, and without reading it, he says this, okay, here's what I'll do. We'll go through the flocks, and any of these animals that are like spotted and striped and all this, I'll keep them, because that's pretty rare. He says, and all the white ones and the black ones, and everything, you get to keep those sheep. You get to keep all that. I'll get to keep kind of the weird-looking ones, okay? And that way, if you find in my property a black or a white one, you know I took it. But I'm not going to take your stuff. And I'll only keep the spotty ones and the striped ones and all of that, and that way we can keep them separate. And what does Jacob know is going to happen? God's going to bless him, and all the animals are going to be what? Spotted and striped. But Jacob is going to trick him. So Jacob goes and says, okay, here's what I'll do. And by the way, I think that I've got it here that he said it was a simple plan. I'll take the rare ones. They will reproduce, and I'll get only these. That's what I did. Now, here's his plan. Jacob the deceiver, he knows this. He's smart. He says when they go to mate, when they come to the water and they're going to mate, I'm going to take some sticks and some things, and I'm going to cut them and make them look spotted or striped. I'm going to put those sticks in front of the water, and when they mate in front of those sticks, their offspring will come out spotted and striped. Now, does that work, by the way, as far as you know? I never heard that working, but it works here. And guess what? Every time there were strong animals mating, he put this down, and they produced spotted and striped strong animals. And every time there were weak ones mating, he just took that away, and he said, I'm just going to let them wait. And guess what happened? As time went by, all of a sudden, Jacob's flock of striped and spotted were bigger and stronger and better, and Laban's flock of white and black, they got weaker and weaker and weaker. So Jacob has tricked him again. And let me just say this about deception. First of all, we don't need to deceive others to get what we want. You don't have to do that. You don't have to deceive others to get what you want. Just trust God. You don't have to say, I'm going to trick my way through this, because that's what Jacob is doing. He says, the only way I'm going to get what I deserve is to trick him. Okay? So we don't need to do that. And then there's a second thing after you get that written. Now, I've got another truth I wanted to throw out just for us to think about. Are you ready? Almost everybody pretty much ready. We don't need to deceive others to get what we want. We just don't have to fool people and trick people and deceive people to get what we want. And we see it all the time in the world. People want to take advantage, figure out a way to get through a loophole, figure out a way to take advantage of somebody, to trick somebody or to do something. So we don't need to do that. The second thing is I want you to think about is this. We don't need to get people back who mistreat us. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And he always deals with that. And we talked about this. We talked about it on Sunday morning before and some of the messages and some of the things that it's really easy when somebody hurts you or says something bad about you or does something that you want to get them back or you want to, you know, kind of even the score or something. You just don't have to do that. Never return evil with evil. Return evil with good. Do good to those people who've done you wrong, so to speak. And so we see that what Jacob should have done was he didn't have to be deceitful, and he doesn't have to figure out a way to get Laban back. That's what he doesn't have to do. And so we're seeing what's happened. And so as time goes by, what happens? The animals from Jacob gets more and more and more and stronger, and then the Laban's flocks get weaker and worse, and it looks bad. And guess what? They can find out. Look at chapter 31. Look at verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's and belongs to our father. He has made all his wealth. Laban's sons, which we don't know much about them, do we? Are they ever mentioned anywhere? They're not even mentioned. You know, you could almost see them saying, well, Rachel gets mentioned all the time. How come we didn't get mentioned? You know, but they get kind of mad because they realize that Jacob's stuff is getting more and more and more, and Laban's stuff, which is actually their stuff, is getting less and less. And so the word kind of gets out that they're a little bit mad about what's going on, and nobody's happy about this. So what's Jacob going to do? Well, it's time. Jacob's ready to go back home. And as we start chapter 31, we're going to see what happens. And we're going to see all the way through. He has lived, let me put this up for you. He has lived with Uncle Laban in Haran for 20 years. It breaks my heart to know that his mother sent him away and said he'll be only gone for a few days. And he's gone for 20 years and she never sees him again. Doesn't that break your heart? I mean, when we look at this, does this break your heart? And how in the world can God take a disaster like this and form his people, his nation, the nation of Israel, God's plan to give us the Messiah and the Word of God through these people? That's what he did. So God can take it. And so Uncle Laban, he's been there for 20 years. He's now ready to return. What is God's promise? God's promise, I will be with you. Do you remember when Jacob left? What did God tell him? I want you to think about it. You remember when he left and he saw what? What was the, he had that dream. What was the dream? Jacob's what? Jacob's ladder. He had that dream. What did God say? I will be with you as you go, and I will bring you back here safely. He knows that. I think that he probably thought it would be a month or two. He didn't know it would be 20 years. So he's ready to go back. The promise, I will be with you. That's what God promised. And that's what God's going to do. I'll be with you. So let's see what happens. So Jacob hears, Jacob heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's from what belonged to our father. He has made all his wealth. They're saying, Jacob came rich off of our daddy. Is that true? How did Jacob come rich? Because God blessed him. And what's unusual is because he did that thing with the stripes, all the animals came out that were his animals. And we're going to see that Jacob is so... the only thing that I see that Jacob really does, character-wise, is when something happens to his animals, it's basically somebody else's fault, he just takes the loss himself. He just trusts God. So look what happens in verse 2. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. He says, I don't think he likes me as much as he used to. Yeah, why? Because all of a sudden, all the white and black animals are getting less and less, and all the striped ones and spotted ones are getting more and more. And so here's what he says. Then the Lord, now watch. Then the Lord said to Jacob. And by the way, who is speaking? Look at the verse. Who is it? And it's the Lord. Now, who? The Lord. Who? It's all capital L, capital O, capital R, capital. This is the personal name of God. This is YHWH. God. He comes to him and says, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and what? I will be with you." It's time to go home. It's time to go home. And he wants to go home. He's been gone 20 years. God said, "I will bless you. I'll be there with you." He has. And God is always with us. He takes care of us. The God of all creation can handle anything. And so look at verse 4. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field. Now he's out in the field, and God apparently appeared to him. Now let me ask you a question. Let's think about it for a second. The Lord said to Jacob, and that's L-O-R-D, which means personal God, right? How did he say it to Jacob? We read that and we just read over it. What do you mean? How did Jacob's out in the field? Did God appear to him in the field? Did he appear to him in some form? Was he the pre-incarnate Christ talking to him? Was it a voice that just out of heaven he heard a voice? What was it? Does it say? It doesn't say. We have no idea. But he's out in the field, so he decides to call and get Rachel and Leah to come out there. So what does he say? It says, so Jacob sent and called for Leah and Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field, and he said to them, "I see your father's attitude, that it's not friendly toward me as formerly, but the God of my father has been with me." He said, "Now your daddy, something's not right. I can tell that your father's attitude is bad." Well, that's verse 31, 33. The Lord said, "Appear." You don't have to write all that down. Now, what did Jacob tell his wives? "Your dad's attitude is bad. Things are not good, but God is with me. God is with me." And look down at verse 11. He's got them out there with him, and he said, let me just read something to you, because I know this is, but it says, "You know, I served you, God, of your father with all my strength. Your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said this way, the speckled ones are your wages, then they're all speckled. If he said striped ones are your wages, then they're all striped. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me." He tells his wives, listen, God is the one that's been taking care of all of this. Now watch right in the middle of this, verse 11. "Then the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. He said, lift up now your eyes and see all the male goats which are mating are striped and speckled and mottled. I've seen all that Laban has been done to you. I am the God of Bethel." Where did he stop and put the pillar down and said, Jacob's ladder, where was that? Bethel. And so he says, "I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave the land, return to the land of your birth." Do you know, if you're Jacob, do you feel like it's pretty safe time to leave? Why? Because God told you to leave. Listen, if God tells you to leave, it's time to leave, and you're okay. And he says, "I'm the God of Bethel." Let me put that up there. God made a promise. He's the God of Bethel. What does Bethel mean? House of God. He said, "I'm the God of Bethel," and it's time. And so he's ready to go. And verse 14, Rachel and Leah said to him, and now listen, what do you think they would say? Let's talk for a minute, for just a second. What do you think about these two girls? What are they going to say when he says, God says for me to go back home, he's been protecting me this whole time, your father has cheated me over and over and changed the wages and did everything, but it's time for me to go back, and it's time for us to go back to my home. Do you think they would say, we don't want to leave our home? What do you think they're going to say? Let's pack up and head out right now. Notice what it said. I love it. So it says, verse 14, Rachel and Leah said to him, "Do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house?" You know what they're saying? We got nothing. He took everything we have and he gave it away. "Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners?" He didn't treat us like we're our daughters. For he has sold us, and he has entirely consumed our purchase price. He said he bought us, and he's gotten rid of us. It was clear to them. It was clear to Jacob's wife they would get nothing from Laban. You know, when we've looked at Laban in the Bible today and we saw him all the way back to the servant coming to get the bride for Isaac and everything, he is a scoundrel. He's a scoundrel. And watch what happens here. So it was clear that this is going to happen. So verse 16, he goes on to say, surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, do whatever God has said to you. They're saying, listen, all the stuff that our father had, that it was supposed to be for us, basically you got it now. You took it. That's good. We're ready. Do whatever you think to go. Jacob rose, put his children and his wives on camels, and they drove away with his livestock and his property, which he had gathered. He acquired livestock, which he had gathered in Padan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. They're ready to leave. They're loading up. They're heading out. And so what's going to happen? They waited for the right time. Now, let me ask you something. Did they go back in, wait for Laban to come in? Oh, it's got it. Sorry. Wait for Laban to come back in? No, they're saying, we're leaving, and we're not telling him we're leaving. Why? I think they thought he'd stop them. So what's going to happen? So they take off. Now watch. Look a little further down. When Laban had gone to shear his flock, Rachel stole the household idols which were her father's. What? What are these things? They got ready to leave. They're leaving in such a hurry, they don't want Laban to stop them. Rachel stole her household father's. They call it teraphim. Teraphim. We're not sure what they were. They're not very big. Some think they're little statues of certain gods, of false gods. So let me just show you that. That chose that idol worship. They thought that these would give them power protection. They also were the signs of authority of the household. The head of the whole home had these possessions. So Laban has those. She goes in and she steals them. She takes them. And you know, why would she do that? Well, think about it. We'll see it in just a minute. Look at the contrast between Laban and Jacob. Laban has what? Gods. And Jacob has what? True God. Laban looks to these idols for protection. Jacob looks to the true God for protection. Think about that. That's the contrast between these two. And let me just raise the question, why would Rachel want these idols? Why would she want them? Well, let's put it up. First of all, this is the way, I think they're valuable to him. She said, you mistreated me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm taking something you want. Second, she thought they are of value. Maybe there's money involved there. And maybe it's possibly a claim to an inheritance. Now, there's not any inheritance left. Who's got the inheritance? Jacob has. Yeah, they're leaving. They're all heading out. And so verse 20, notice verse 20. Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was fleeing. So he fled with all that he had. He crossed the Euphrates River and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. So he doesn't tell Laban he's leaving. Now, do you think he should have told Laban? What do you think? No. Well, what's Laban going to say? You didn't give me a chance to give you a big party, to send you out, to kiss my kids and my grandkids, and I would have done all this for you. You think he would have done all that for him? I don't think so. So they're on the way. Look at verse 21. So he fled all that he had. He crossed the Euphrates River. So let me show you the map. They've been up here all this time. And they're taking off. Now, all the way back down in here, is Bethel is back down in here. So, well, I can't see it on there, but it's there, Peniel, Bethel. So they're leaving, and they're coming down here, and they're going as fast as they can go. And Laban's going to find out he's coming after them, and he catches them right here. He catches them right there. So let's see what's going to happen. So Jacob is gone. And Laban finds out, verse 22. When it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsman with him, pursued him in a distance of 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the hill country of Gilead. It took him 7 days to catch him. Now, he could go faster. Why? First of all, what does Jacob have? He got four women and a whole bunch of kids and a whole bunch of property and all these animals, and they're coming. And I mean, he's got a lot of stuff. Let me just tell you, talk about rich. If we thought Abraham was rich and Isaac was rich, Jacob is rich. He's got everything. And we're going to see that as time goes by. And so they finally catch him. He knows he's going to catch him. And what does God do? The warning. Watch the warning. Verse 24. God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream of the night and said to him, "Be careful that you do not speak to Jacob either good or bad." He's saying, "You better leave him alone. Neither good nor bad. Leave him alone. Don't try to stop him. I'm the one that told him to come back." That's basically it. And we're going to see that in this little portion that Laban basically has two accusations. He says, "You took my children and you took my gods." So look at the next one. It says, Laban caught up with Jacob, verse 25. And Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country. Laban and his kinsmen camped in the hill country of Gilead. Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword? And why did you flee secretly and deceive me and did not tell me so that I might have, gosh, I would have sent you away with joy and with songs and with timbrel and with lyre, and you didn't allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. How you have done foolishly." Wow. He says, you didn't give me a chance. You didn't give me a chance. You took, we're going to see in a minute, he's going to talk about the gods. But he says in verse 27, he said, "You took my children. Why didn't you tell me? I could have sent you away with a party." Let me ask you a question again. You think he would have sent him away with a party? Do you think if Jacob would have come to him and said, "It's time to leave"? He already did that 7 years ago, or 6 years ago, because he worked 14 and then six more, 20 years. He's already done that. And when he got ready to leave after 14 years, all Laban could say is, "Oh, please, please stay here, please stay here. I know God's blessing me because of you. I'll give you whatever you want." And you think after these six other years that he would have said, "Oh, yeah, we'll have a big party and we'll see you off and everything will be wonderful." No, that's not what's going to happen. And so he goes on to say, "And you did not allow me," verse 28, "to kiss my sons and my daughters. You've acted foolishly." And then watch what he says. "It is in my power to do you harm. I can kill you. But the God of your father," you notice he didn't say my God. Do you picture that with these household gods and everything it has, do you think that Laban is a believer in the true God? It doesn't seem that way to me. We could be wrong. We just don't know. And he says, it is in my power to harm you, but the God of your father spoke to me last night saying, "Be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob. Now you have indeed gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Now let me ask you a question. Does Jacob know that Rachel got the gods? He didn't know anything about it. You think she's going to tell him? No, she's not going to tell him. Because she doesn't, I mean, she's not going to, because what would he say? "We don't need these gods. I mean, we got the true God. We don't need these gods." So the second big accusation, "I could have sent you away with a party. I can stop you. I got protection from God." But look what he says. "Why did you steal my gods? You took them." What's Jacob going to say? "We do not have your gods. I tell you what. If we got whoever's got your gods, you can kill them." Rachel goes, "Uh-oh." Jacob replied to Laban, verse 31, "Because I was afraid. The reason I didn't tell you I was leaving, I was afraid, for I thought you'd take your daughters from me by force. And the one whom you find your gods shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what is yours among my belongings and take it." He says, "Listen. If I have anything of yours, you take it. And if you find those gods, guess what? Whoever's got them will put them to death." And then it says, Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. I think Rachel says, "I think it's about time to go into the tent by myself." Right? And he says, "I was afraid you'd take my wives, and I didn't get your gods. I did not get your gods. I didn't do it." He didn't know that Rachel stole them. So the accusations, you left with no goodbye, and I was afraid. He said, I left, and you stole my gods. Well, I didn't. He said, you left with no goodbye. I said, I was afraid. Well, you stole my gods. I didn't. Go look and see. So look what happens, verse 33. Notice how the daddy does it. Laban went into whose tent first? Jacob's, and then into Leah's tent, and then in the tent of the two maids. But he didn't find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Why do you think he made Rachel last? Is there any reason? Huh? Maybe he thought, it could be that he may have favored Rachel and he was hoping that I will find it before I ever get to her. Who knows? But then, now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in the camel saddle, and she sat on them. Now listen, so they can't be that big. You know, they're probably about this big. Maybe there's two or three of them. We don't even know what it is. And she sat on them, and Laban felt all over the tent, but he didn't find them. You can see him coming in. She's sitting there. He's looking all over everything. And what does she say to him? She says, "Oh, Father, let not my Lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of woman is upon me." So he searched, but he did not find that. She said, "I'm on my what? I'm on my period. I just don't feel good enough to stand up. Is that okay, Dad?" He went, whatever, you know. And so he didn't look. She's got him hidden. What do you think Jacob's going to do when he finds out that she has those idols? Wow. It was, by the way, we know something that neither Jacob or Laban knew, and that's why didn't Rachel stand for her father? Because the idol was under her. And we know this, that it was a custom for children to rise when their parents entered. Did you know that? Do you know that? All you kids need to rise up when your folks come walking in, okay? So that's what we got now. Let's see Jacob's anger. And so in verse 36, Jacob became angry and he contended with Laban. And Jacob said to Laban, "What's my transgression? What's my sin that you've come after me? You fell through all my goods. You found all my, all. Have you found any of your household goods? No." And then verse 38, 20 years I've been with you and I've taken everything. And then he says, "And if any of mine got torn up, I didn't replace it with yours," and vice versa. You know, he said, "These 20 years," verse 41, "these 20 years I've served you. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock. You changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God of the fear of Isaac, had not been for me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands, so he rendered judgment last night." Jacob says, "Let me just tell you, you want to get all mad about this, and you've searched through everything that I've got, and you've gone through every tent that I've got, and I'm just going to tell you something. I did this thing for 20 years. I worked for 14 for the kids, 6 years for this, and if it hadn't been for God taking care of me, you would have stole everything that I have." Well, what do you think Laban's going to do? Go, "Oh, I'm so sorry." No, watch what Laban does. So Laban is going to respond. Let me just put this up. Jacob's raised 14 years for the daughters, 6 years for the flock. "You changed my wages 10 times, and God had not been for me." So here's what I call the witness, and I want you to see this next thing. Look at verse 43. Now, watch Laban and picture what you think how he's saying this. Then Laban replied to Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters, and the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have borne?" Jacob says, "I did all this," and he looks and says, "They're my daughters, they're my children, they're my grandchildren, and they're my flocks." Both of them are really what? Mad. You got Jacob fussing and you got Laban fussing. And the girls are sitting there probably going, "I don't know what's going to happen. What is going to happen?" He said, "These are my daughters, my children, and my flocks." Is that true? No, it's not. Who worked for them? Who took care of the flocks? Who got the flocks? Who did this? Whose kids are these? Whose grandchildren? Basically, they're his kids. So they're going to make a covenant. They're going to make a covenant. Verse 44. So come, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. And Jacob took a stone, set it as a pillar. Jacob said to the kinsmen, gather stones. So they put stones and made a heap. Laban called it, and it's Jagar Shahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. I'm glad Jacob called it the short name. But anyway, so they called it, it was called a heap of witness. Jacob took a stone, and Laban made it in Aramaic, which is means heap of witness, and Jacob made it in Hebrew, Galeed, which means heap of witness. It both means these rocks are set up, and when you see these rocks, we've made a deal here. You know what the deal's going to be? You don't cross these lines and come back over to me, and you don't cross the line and you come back over to me. You know what he's basically saying? We're not going to see each other anymore. You go your way, and we go our way. That's what we're going to do. This is between you and me. Notice, Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day, therefore it was named Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. That sounds good, but it's not good, because he says, if you mistreat my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, oh, no man is with us to see. God is witness between you and me. Boy, Laban says, you better not mistreat my daughters, and you better not marry any other wives. Verse 51. Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap and behold the pillar which I've set between you and me. This is a heap of witness. This pillar is a witness that I will not pass by this heap to you for harm. You will not pass by this heap and this pillar to me for harm. So the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their fathers judged between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. They made a deal. We're going to stay away from each other. Now, watch what Jacob did. I think we're on the last page. What did Jacob do? He worshiped God. He's on the way back. Look what it says. Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called to his kinsmen to the meal. They ate the meal and spent the night on the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban rose up. What did he do? Kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And then Laban departed and returned to his place. Wow. These are all one big happy family, right? It's just a mess, isn't it? It's a mess. And we look at this and we go, my gracious, what is going on? And so now Jacob is about to go home, and he's got two wives, two handmaids, and 11 kids, and all kind of stuff. And who is waiting for him? Okay. So, you get back and you send word to Esau. Your brother has returned and I love you so much. And you get word back that he's coming with 400 men. What do you think? He's coming to kill me. And of course, Jacob is such a jerk. He says, okay, I'm going to divide everybody up. So if he kills people, maybe he won't get to all of us. So I'm going to put these handmaids up here, and then I'm going to put, you know, Bilhah here, and then I'm going to put Leah up here, and last of all, I'll put Rachel, and then, of course, last of all, I'll put me. But we're going to see something. Because when he left, he was at Bethel, and God said, I will be with you. When he comes back, he comes to the same place, and that's where he wrestles with God, at the same place. So let's quickly look at applications. And let's understand that children are a gift from God. They are. So it's the grace of God. And so it's wonderful. And then A is rest in his plan. If you want children, trust him. I mean, you know, some people can have babies and some can, and that's just the way, you know, God knows what he's doing, and we just have to trust him and rest in all that. In this day and time, for Rachel not to have a child, she finally had one, made her feel better, I'm sure. But it's just, this is that people said, oh, they're really blessed, but she isn't. But that's not true. God, we have to rest in his plan and be, let's look at our children as on loan from God. This is something you have to know. that we only get them for a little while. And before you know it, they're grown and gone on. And we only get them for a little while. And they really belong to God. And children are a gift. And we need to take care of them and love them and protect them and do everything we can. Okay? Y'all got that? Everybody got it? Huh? Huh? Yeah, they're on a loan from God. Yeah, he's supposed to say lean. A what? Oh, I don't know. It can be anything you want it to be, you know. I don't even know. Here's number two. Let's understand that there are consequences when we violate the Word of God. Oh, man, conflicts, jealousy, envy, competition, the family, the wives, the handmaids, the sexual relations, Laban, the lying, the cheating, the phlegm. Just, oh, we got nothing but conflict, right? We got nothing but conflict. You know, I think things are going to get better. Isn't that what we always think? Number three, let's understand God is the one who provides. Who's taking care of Jacob through this whole thing? Because what did God tell him when he left? I'll be with you, I'll take care of you, and I will what? I'll bring you back here. God is the one who provides in his grace and mercy, and he takes care of us day in and day out. So be content with what we have. And then here's the last one. And this should say, I think our book is wrong. It should say, let us understand that God is our protection, okay? And I think our handout says end. We're making some, we found that today when we were looking at it. So he's our protection. And so think about this. He is with us as our protection, and leave vengeance to God.